Okay, let's carry on over here. We are Simon Tzadik. We are learning about Hilchas Tefillah B'Tzibul. One page 244. Let's carry on. The third line. See if you teach us the following halachic. If a person is davening. So we learned the second best option as well. Ideally, a person should daven with a minion. What's the second best?
With the same time.
Now, what happens? And the third option was the third best? In shul, without a minion. Now, see if you teach us the following halachic. She'oymeit im ha-tzibu. Imagine, he is davening with the tzibu. You're davening in a minion with a tzibu. Now you feel that it's getting a bit late. It's getting late. I'm not gonna be able to make it. I can't stay till the end of the davening with that pace. Unless they make a 30% increase of speed, it's not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. Can't be all day, as they say. Can't be all day. So therefore, now what he wants to do is he wants to daven a bit faster, ahead. Daven ahead. So they're all up to that. He's going to daven ahead. Is he allowed to do that or not? In shul, with a minyan, davening ahead. Says Shulchan Aruch. Kshehoy medim atzibu, if you're davening with a tzibu, osu lo lehagdim tfiloso ele tfilas tzibu. You're not allowed to. You're now in a situation that you're not allowed to daven faster than the minyan you're with. You can't. You have to daven with a tzibu. You cannot daven ahead of them. As long as you're in
the,
you have to stay there.
What
till the end. Elohim Cain, unless Hashoy Veres, unless the time moves fast. If in a situation that he is going to miss Sof Zman at the Kirshma Otfila, then he's allowed, if the minion is just like schlepping so they're gonna miss Sof Zman. They're going to be davening after the Sausman Tefillah, Sausman Kirshma. Then you're not to daven ahead. But otherwise, you're not allowed to go ahead with it. You're not allowed to speed up. Aval beloy shaveres, if the time is still right, yispalil ha-piyutim, v'atchinos yidim ha-tzibu, you should daven the piyutim, the psukat ha-zimu with the oilem, v'lo yifosh min ha-tzibu, don't distance yourself from the community, afilu even lastik b'divet Torah, even if you're a great masmid, can't be here forever, I've got to finish shas, I've got to finish Torah, I want to go and learn. I can't daven for hours. I can't daven. I need to learn. No. You stay right here and you're done with the oilem. Now, what is he talking about? What about Psukat HaZimah, let's say? Are you allowed to daven Psukat HaZimah ahead of the oilem? So, Psukat HaZimah, they're up to Asher and you're up to ready Oz Yosher. Can you do that? Or no? If you hear the Chazan saying Asher Yoshua Besecha, you do Asher Yoshua Besecha. When he says Oz Yosher, you say, "Oh, Yosher, don't go ahead." Would that apply for that as well? What would you say? Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah holds that no. The Mishnah Berurah says that you could daven. Let's look at the words. That it's not referring to Psukat HaZimah. It's talking about Shmoneh Esrei. Dafke Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei. It's the Achronim say that. That's only specifically talking about Shmoneh Esrei. Why so? Why not allowed to daven ahead of them? Why can you not daven Shmoneh Esrei before the Tzibur? Shmoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to daven before them. Why not? Mishnah Berurah says, "Mipnei shuke mevaza ez atzibu." It's bizon for the tzibu. What is that called? It's like a
disgrace
for the community. You're davening Shmoneh Esrei and they're not up to it yet. It's not right. Yeah. So you're not allowed to. Yeah.
What about though? If they are quicker than you are, so. And you want to, so you might have to skip a bit there, say to make sure you're up to Baruch Hu with the Sibbot to Baruch Hu. Can you go ahead at that stage because you can skip out?
Yeah. That you'd be allowed to, as long as you end up davening Shmoneh Esrei with them. Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, that's
a
permitted.
Lot of people are very quick, and personally, I can't keep up with half of them. And sometimes they could be already Boruchu, and I'm, let's say, Ashrei.
So you can, anyway, we're talking about going ahead, and you're talking about the opposite.
Yeah, what about, can you go ahead in order to make sure you're with them?
For Shmoneh Esrei, yes, absolutely, yes, yes. You'll be allowed to do that. See if you dalef. What about Banan? Can you go out of the shul to daven? Would you be allowed to go out of the, so if they're davening Shmoneh Esrei over here, they're not up to Shmoneh Esrei. You want to daven Shmoneh Esrei, you go out over here, the room next door. Can you do that to avoid trouble? You're not allowed to go ahead and daven Shmoneh Esrei before then.
Okay.
But what if you go to this room over there?
Oh, you mean you're basically daven by yourself, you mean?
Yeah.
Separating yourself from
me. Yes, but the Mishnah says, Sifkot Lamed Hey, you're not allowed to leave the shul in order to daven before them. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. You're not allowed to, because of machloikas, but Lemaisa, you're not allowed to do that. See if you'd allow, gentlemen, Mi sheyesh loy beis hakneses be'iroi, someone that has a shul in his city. There is a shul in his town where he lives. And he doesn't enter the shul leispaleil to daven there. Nikra, he is called shochein ra. What's a shochein ra?
A bad neighbor.
Vegoyrem, and he causes chas v'sholoim golus loy ulevonov. He causes golus, this
exile
for himself and his children chas v'sholoim. Why is it called a shochein ra, a bad neighbor? Call him a bad davener. Call him a bad, why shochein ra? Somebody who doesn't daven in shul is considered shochein ra. Why? Why a bad neighbor? Sifkot lamed ches, nikra shochein ra. Sheken derech shcheinim aroim, these are bad neighbors. She'en nichnosim lebeis chavrehem. If you're a good neighbor, you're occasionally going to pop into your neighbor. If you're a bad neighbor, that means that no, I have nothing to do with him. No connection to them. Number 42, then I don't get it. And no shaykhs. Number 38, no, we don't go there. We don't talk to them. That's a bad neighbor. Any Yiddish kind of neighbor, you'll pop in sometimes here, sometimes there. You know, shochein ra. If you don't go to shul, yeah, shochein ra. Very good. Now, what will happen if the shul doesn't have a minion anyway? We live up. This is a village out in
Nebraska.
In Nebraska, I don't know where that is, but yeah, okay. And there are only 6 people in that shul anyway. They've long left. Before the war, he was a flourishing minion. Since then, Nebraska gone down the hills. Now there's only 6 people living there, and they're all in their 80s. But still, they have a minion. They have a minion. They come and they dump. So now, the question is, if you don't have a minion, is there still a shochein ra by not going to shul? Or no, come on, there's no minion, so what's the point of going to shul if there's no minion?
No, because it's always better to daven.
Very good, says the Mishnah Berurah. Afilu ein shom minyan asor. I think it's a massive chiddush. Even if there's no minion, you got to go to shul. Even if there's no minion, you got to go to shul. Otherwise, they're considered a shochein ra. Bad neighbor. I think that's a very big chiddush. What happens if there is a minion in your house, though? So, there is a shul, but you got a minion in your house. Is it still considered shochein ra, bad neighbor? No, what do you think? Shul in your house, there's a minion in your house, you're not going to shul because of that. So, Mishavu says, no, that's not a shochein ra, that's okay, you're davening with a minion. Now, the Mishavu of Kot Lamed Zayin discusses the concept that Mishnah tells us. If you've got 2 shuls, one is nearby and one is further away. Which one are you meant to go to?
Further away.
It says in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Lamed Zayin. V'chein im yesh shtei batei knesiyos, there's 2 shuls, ba'ir in the city. Toiv, it is right. Leilech to go l'arechoyka to the far one. Why? Why to go to the further shul? Schar p'siyos yesh. This is schar p'siyos. This is a reward. Schar p'siyos of the steps. Schar p'siyos. There's one shul right next door. There's one shul very far. You go to one further away because of schapsiois.
That's assuming so they're both equal. let's say, one shawl a bit double quick.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, very good. So the poskim do stress that if one of, you can daven better in one of the, in the nearest shul, you don't have to go to the nearest shul. Yeah, so it's got to do with, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Schapsi only to equal standing. Yeah, so Schapsi is a concept. Now the question is, I saw the poskim book, and I was always often curious about this. Is there Schapsi if you go by car, by bike? Is it Schapsi as well, or not? You may go to the further shul. So does that also apply if you drive or not?
Schar petrol money,
yeah. Yeah. So I saw that they bring from Metzela Chochma, from the Betzal Stern, he says that there is no schar psiois unless you actually walk. And I think the reason might be because what does psiois mean? Steps seems to imply that you're walking. So probably schapsiois. Now I'm not sure. Certainly, I'm not sure about person bikes, because I think biking might be considered. Know what you think? Biking might be considered okay. The Maharal explains that what's the point of schapsiois? Why is there schapsiois? Why is there schapsiois? Is there a schapsiois for other mitzvahs as well? Say for instance, if you can either shake the lulav. You've got two sukkahs. Oh no, that's not. Let's say you want a shukkel dalat minim in the sukkah. Yeah, it's an inyan pligah. Well, now you've got two sukkahs. One is right next door. One sukkah is far away. Is there an inyan to shake the abam minim in the sukkah far away? Is this chapsiois when it comes to mitzvah dalat minim? What would you say? No, there isn't. What about if you can put on tefillin? Forget about.
You go to kiddush.
Kiddush. Yeah, nearer. So the answer is absolutely clearly, unlike what some people think and what some people say, schapsios is only something very, very specific when it comes to davening. There's no schapsios to other mitzvahs. No such thing. No schapsios for dalat minim, no schapsios for matzah, no schapsios for. No. Schapsios specifically for davening. So the question is why? Why is such a concept of schapsios? And why does schapsios only apply specifically for davening? So I think the Maharal explains, I didn't see this inside, I only heard it. What davening means that you approach, you go towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, you connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that makes sense that you've got to do a physical effort towards it. You need to make a physical effort to show that you really care, you really desire, you really wish, and you have an urge to go towards Hashem. And that is something which is specifically as to davening, that's what is chapsios, more so than other mitzvahs. Perhaps more so than other mitzvahs. And therefore, there is chapsios when it comes to davening. There's no schapsis when it comes to other mitzvahs. It's something to think about. It needs to be polished a bit, but yeah. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Surely it's the other way around, really, because if you want to have a connection with Hashem and you want it quickly, aren't you better off going to the nearest shul because you're helping the mitzvah straight away?
Yeah, I know. I understand. There's Zizi Magdimin, but on the other hand, yeah, there is a concept of schapsis. If you're making a physical effort to go to the further shul, there is a great aspect to that. Now, the Mishnah says, where do you know this concept from? It's called Mem. Shenem of a Nedo Nirdafo, which chase Lodas to know is Hashem, Umeze Nilmoid. From here we can see the Kol Shekein even more so. I'm reading Siv Kotn Mem. Kol Shekein Sheyesh Lizer. One must be careful. Shloi Lamoid Be'em Tzadech. Don't stop midway. Leosiach Im Chaver, to have a schmooze, a conversation with your friend. Be'ev Zechevze Shem Be'ez Zechevze Atzmoi, about personal matters or world politics. Don't start talking about world politics when you're on your way to shul. Because if the shmuz is really interesting and the conversation gets really good, well, you're going to end up missing kedusha and davening. You're going to come late. So don't talk when you're on your way to shul. The preacher writes, you should run. When you get close to the shul, you should hurry up. Walk fast as you get closer as you approach the shul. The shominka, that is recognizable, that you're doing this in order to approach the shul, and it's recognizable and it's a great covered by doing so towards the mitzvah. Yeah.
Isn't there an issue maybe of Bittel Toilet? Because let's say you spend 20 minutes walking to one shul and 7 minutes to the other. So you think to yourself, you know something, I probably spend another 30 minutes.
Yeah, so is there Bittel Toilet? I mean,
does that override the walking overrides
Bittel? Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. See, if you'd base mitzvah loads, k'shoylech lebeis haknesses, if you'd base tells us you've got to run to go to shul. Run. Gentlemen, able to run? It was getting tough. Running to shul? Run to shul.
Only if you're under 40.
Only 40, yeah. After that, it gets there. So the question is, so Mishmur says over here, when you run, you should do that. Then primarily, as we just said with Mishmur, the last bit is the most important part to rush. That applies though not only regards to running, it doesn't only apply to shul, but any mitzvah you should run to do a mitzvah. I've read about Shabbos, although on Shabbos generally speaking, you should also live on Shabbos generally, you got to walk more. Shabbos you walk more
then, Rabbi,
gently, more relaxed on Shabbos. Nevertheless, when you go to shul, you should run fast. Even on Shabbos. When you leave the shul, also, loads. Do not run when you go out of the shul. Why not? Yeah, it shows that. Oh, I finished finally. You know, so you don't run. What about Yes, the Mishmur says Misifkot Mem Aleph. Loads at Pesach Beis Haknesses. You run until you reach the entrance of the shul. Umi Beis Haknesses Atzma. When you're actually inside the shul, how should you walk there? Osulot, do not run inside the shul. Ella, rather, yelech be'em, you should walk in a respectful, slowly, more dignified manner. And therefore, the running is only towards the shul, primarily the last bit. But once you're in shul, you should walk slowly. Yeah. What are you saying?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi, I still can't follow. If you're meant to run for a mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
Then, as I said before, logically, you should go to the nearest shul because you know you're keen to do the mitzvah. If you're going to say, oh, I'm going to go to the shul further away, your point is because it shows your, I don't know what the reason is you said it's further away, but surely you're postponing, delaying, completing a mitzvah by going to a shul further away. What was the reason you said you need to go to a shul further away? I don't understand.
There's a reward for every step. You're showing great respect and great love for the mitzvah by not just doing the one which is nearby, but a little bit further away. It shows that you truly care.
Surely doing the one nearby shows your eagerness, maybe. You can look at it the other way around as well. You want to go over and done with, but surely it shows your eagerness to do the mitzvah quick, straight away.
Yeah, so the Torah teaches us that it's by chapping the one nearby, you're not particularly showing respect. You know, people go a long way to be, they're very particular about which restaurant they go to, which shop they go to, and they will make an effort to get just the right one. It has to be just the right one. And they'll go to great efforts to have their gashmis just very convenient. Not necessarily convenient, but they'll go to great length and effort to get it right. So when it comes to shul, also a person should make the effort, and not just getting the one near his house, but to have a schapsias as well. So that's the concept of schapsias. And finally for tonight, in Sifu Dalet, Mutalog Beis HaKnesses, it is permitted to spit in shul, V'doisoy Beraglov, and you then step on it with your foot, or Mechaseo Bekem, you cover it with anything else. So, Mishnah explains it in Sifkot Mem Dalet, Per Shuloi Beshas Tfilah Shemaneh Esrei, of surely in the middle of Shemaneh Esrei, you're not to spit. Elokigun kia shma vibirchaseo, shma, or broches kia shma, or subsuke zimra, I'm sure. I will tefillah shmen eser, or sulog, but of course, in the middle of shmen is not to spit. Remember, gentlemen, I only understood this mishtibur once I heard that, I only understood this halacha. You have to spit in shul. What does that mean,
Bijou? I think it's only permitted when it's there are ground floor.
Okay? Of course. It's not talking, it's two things we've got to bear in mind. It just shows how far we are sometimes from our lives. We sometimes don't remember what it was like for centuries and centuries. Two things you've got to remember. There was no carpet or floor. It was earth. It was earth. Shuls were stone, just like stones. There was no. So that's point number one. So you're not spitting on a carpet. but you're spitting on a you're spitting on earth. And they would do that at home as well, by the way. They'll do it at home as well.
It's
and more importantly, something else which somebody enlightened me once and explained, there was no something which we use when we have something in our throat. There was no tissues. When we have a blocked nose or we have something in our throat or whatever, so we take tissues, and that's what how we clean our facial. There was no tissues then. There was no tissues. So the only way to sort themselves out was to spit. That's what they needed to do. So, okay, that's what they did. So only with this we can explain. But nowadays, of course, it's disrespectful. I saw people spitting in shul. I find it very disrespectful nowadays. Don't spit in a shul where there is marble floor, whatever it is. You don't spit in shul. Take a tissue. What's that? No, I didn't see it. I was generally somebody that came to shul and started spitting around. So that's Shulchan Aruch says you have to spit. No. I don't think what he means. I don't think it's respectful nowadays. The Mishibur points out that sometimes on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, people don't want to swallow the saliva. They start chumras or something. So even then, try to avoid it if possible. But yes, Meikar Din Shulchan Aruch does say it is permitted. But again, I think circumstances and times have changed a little bit. To summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about don't speed up your davening, your Shemoneh Esrei before the Tzibur. You don't have to do that. If you're with the Olam, you daven with them. We also learned that the only exception is if, what's the only exception? When you're allowed to speed up your Shemoneh Esrei, only one exception. To Savzman, to Mr. Savzman, to avoid missing Savzman. Further, we learned that if there's a shul in town and you don't go to that shul, that person is called a bad neighbor, Shachin Ra. We learned also that when it comes to shul, a person has to run towards the shul. In shul, however, he walks gently, elegantly. And when you leave shul, you don't run. We spoke about Schaf Tzios. And we spoke about the spitting, which Shulchan Aruch says is permitted, as long as you afterwards remove it and you get rid of it. Okay, gentlemen, that's it for this evening. Having said all this, I wish you a particularly pleasant evening, gentlemen.